helping men to live their Catholic faith boldly. This is Men of Christ Radio on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. Powerful and inspiring conversations with Catholic speakers and leaders about your family, your parish, your nation, your world, and what you, as a man of Christ, can do about it.
Hello and welcome to Men of Christ Radio, where we bring the Men of Christ experience to you. I've been working on a new slogan for the show, and I think that might be it. Who am I? I'm Brian Farley. I'm your humble host for Men of Christ Radio, and I'm thrilled to be here. And once again, want to thank WSFI Catholic Radio 88.5 FM for giving us the opportunity, the Men of Christ, the opportunity to broadcast to you through radio. We are privileged to have awesome speakers and presenters and experts speaking at our conference, our workshops, our retreats. And a lot of times, it's just the guys there who get to hear this incredible material, this life-changing material. And what we want to do is get that out to more and more men for the main reason of bringing men closer to Christ. Our mission is to evangelize, catechize, and unify men to help them live their Catholic faith more boldly. So how better to do that than radio, really? If the apostles had this, it really would have sped things up. Saved him a few hundred years of evangelization. But we're doing our best here. What we are going to do is have guests on this program who are our speakers and our presenters and our experts. And today we have Father Eric Nielsen, who many of you know. Father Eric is the director of the St. Paul Center at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and he's doing phenomenal work there. Specifically today, what he's going to be talking with us about is fathering your daughters. So you men out there who have girls, you want to listen up. I have two of my own, so I definitely want to hear what Father has to say. Men who do not yet have children or daughters, you may someday, so listen up. This is important information. Grandfathers of daughters and granddaughters, same for you. They're never too old to need you and your role as a father and as a grandfather. So please do stay tuned for Father Eric. And before we delve into anything more right now, let's start things off the right way, which is, of course, with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mary, my Queen, my Mother, I give myself entirely to you. And to show my devotion to you, I consecrate to you this day my ears, my mouth, my heart, my soul, my whole being without reserve. Wherefore, good Mother, as I am thine own, keep me and guard me as thy property and possession. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, again, Father Eric's coming up soon, but I wanted to give you a quick overview of some of the other guests who will be joining us in future shows on Men of Christ Radio. Again, these are some of the guys we've had speak at our conferences and retreats, and some who have not yet, but we hope to at some point. Bruce Hahnemann is one who spoke a couple years at the conference. Bruce is an expert in overcoming pornography addiction, which is sadly a huge problem in our society. Even among Catholic men, of course, we're really no different than any man in this regard. What Bruce does is manage a science-based Catholic online recovery program for men and women who are impacted by pornography, either through addiction or other unhealthy sexual behaviors. So this will be an awkward show when that comes up, but it's a necessary one because not enough people are talking about this, sometimes for obvious reasons, but it needs to be dealt with. Kyle Clement was a speaker at our conference this year, the 2016 conference. Fascinating man, 15 years experience training Catholic priests in the practice of exorcism. So you can imagine he's had some interesting experience. He's going to share that with us as we talk about spiritual warfare and the role of the Father in protecting his family in the spiritual warfare. Some very interesting material there. Dave Durand, many of you know him, you've heard him, he's been around for a long time. Great guy, great Catholic man, one of the top 100 minds in America on the topic of personal development. He'll be joining us to talk about glorifying God through your career, through your job. A lot of people think, well, I shouldn't be successful, I should be poor. And well, not necessarily, no. It's all in how you do it to glorify God. And Dave has some fascinating insights in that whole situation. And there's many more. Matt Christoph, who runs New Evangelization, which is a website investigating the problem of the Catholic man crisis and why many men are leaving the Catholic Church, or they're involved, or they're there, but only in body only, really. They're not spiritually involved. They're not participating substantially. And why is that? Well, he's collected a great deal of fascinating research kind of depressing, but important and fascinating research, and has ideas on what we can do about that, how to evangelize Catholic men and how to do it better, more effectively. Certainly what we're trying to do with Men of Christ, and so is Matt. Also, prayers for Matt. Right now, he's with his own father, who is very, very ill, maybe in the final stages. So we ask that you offer your prayers for Matt Christoph and his family. Last one I want to mention is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. He just put out a book called Behold the Man, A Catholic Vision of Male Spirituality. We've had Deacon Harold speak at our retreats, and he's an excellent speaker. He's a fascinating man, passionate, and really has valuable insights into the whole idea of male spirituality and what this is all about. Is it just chauvinism, or what are we talking about? Deacon Harold can give you quite an earful, and it's very, very valuable information. So that's just a glimpse of some of the guests we have that we're planning, we're scheduling, we're getting them ready to be on Men of Christ Radio. So this is the place to be, right here on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, where we will be right back after a brief break here with Father Eric Nielsen talking about fathering your daughters. Don't go away.
Don't miss the 2016 Sports Faith Hall of Fame induction ceremonies on Saturday, May 14th of Pentecost weekend, beginning with Holy Mass at the Church of St. Mary's in Lake Forest, Illinois at 5 o'clock p.m., followed by dinner and the Hall of Fame induction at the Deer Path Inn. This year's list of honorees includes Chip Beck, Ziggy Zarabsky, Lauren Hill, Nick Rassus, Bill Wennington, and many more virtuous athletes, coaches, and teams. For more information or to purchase tickets, call 224-206-8455. That's 224-206-8455. Or visit us online at WSFIRadio.org.
Are you retired or near retirement? Do you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
Hello, I'm Joe Scheidler, host of Pro-Life Today on WSFI Catholic Radio 88.5 FM. It's a half-hour conversation with leaders in the pro-life movement committed to protecting the most vulnerable among us. That's every Monday at 3:30 p.m. Or listen anytime by subscribing to our podcast. Visit WSFIRadio.org for more information. That's Pro-Life Today, every Monday at 3:30 p.m. only on WSFI Catholic Radio.
All right, well, we're back here on Men of Christ Radio, and thank you again for tuning in. Our guest today is Father Eric Nielsen, who is director of the St. Paul Center at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And Father Eric is going to today be talking about a topic that he brought up to us, which I find fascinating because I am a father of daughters and need all the help I can get. My girls are 18 and 14, but I'm going to believe it's never too late. So, Father Eric, thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome. It's great to be here with you, Brian. We're really looking forward to our time together.
Thank you. And for those who don't know, Father Eric is also our spiritual director at Men of Christ, which we need a lot of. So we do appreciate that. And thank you for this. And remind me at the end to ask for your blessing, because I need that. We all need that. And I often forget to take advantage of that opportunity when talking to priests and bishops. But so fathering your daughters, this is obviously a huge topic and an interesting one in this era of everyone believing that really there's no difference between the genders. It's all one big happy thing. And so a lot of questions here. I guess we'll just start right off with the primary responsibility of a father to his daughter. What is the primary responsibility of a father in relation to his daughters?
The primary responsibility is pretty easy. It's the responsibility that a man has for his whole family. Make sure they're fed, make sure they're protected. And so that's your primary responsibility. Now, it's generally not that hard to feed your family these days. You don't have to go out and hunt or work hard in the back 40 and pray that the crop doesn't get eaten by locusts. And A father might think, well, protecting my family is just is easy because we live in a pretty civil society. There's not roving bands of barbarians or wild savages. And we have a good police force, and so children are pretty well protected. But in reality, they're being exposed to a lot of things that damage them, especially our young girls. They are brought up believing that their natural feminine dignity, which comes from who they are as human persons and sons and daughters of God, no longer exists because there is no God. So without a relationship to God, our dignity is lowered, and we're just like the animals. We just live by our instincts and move to our pleasures and desires. She also doesn't have an appreciation of her particular feminine talents. Women are naturally created to serve and find joy in service. Men need to serve as well. Jesus is our example. I have come not as one who is served, but one who does serve. But us men, we can just serve ourselves and feel happy. Women, in order to be naturally happy, need to serve. And motherhood is just one huge vocation of service to others, a service to the children, a direct service to her children, a direct service to her husband. And that role has been taken away from us, looked down on, it's diminished, it's seen as unimportant. So this natural way in a woman would find, a young girl would find meaning in her life is taken away from her. So now she's supposed to find meaning in her life in her vocation, in something that she does out in the world rather than who she is in a home, which is fine. Women, it's okay for women to go out and get jobs and things like that. We don't want to say that they can only stay in the home. But what this does is it takes away a natural source of enjoyment for her. And at the same time, motherhood is no longer appreciated. She still has a desire to be wanted and needed by the male sex. Men desire women to appreciate them, and women naturally desire men to appreciate them. Well, in this modern age, the microwave oven and permanent press clothes, in a certain sense, has taken away our appreciation of what women used to do, which was to maintain a good home and keep us happy and well-fed. And so what's left? Well, I can give a man my body. They can appreciate that. So unfortunately, we live in an age where our young women are growing up and they think, first of all, I don't have any real human dignity. I'm just like an animal because I'm not in a relationship with God. And my purpose is to get a high-paying career somewhere because that's what's going to make me happy. But in my heart, I really feel that I want to be needed by a man. But the only way a man ever is going to need me is if he wants to have my body. And so that's what I'm going to do. And so, now granted, that's pretty stark, and most women don't fall completely into this stereotype, but that's the pull. That's kind of like where everybody just naturally rolls to unless they're fighting against it. And most people fight against it to some extent, right? But I think it's the father's job to protect his daughter from defining himself in relationship to other men and defining herself in relationship to other men vis-a-vis her body and her sexual attractiveness.
Okay, so now this is interesting because through Men of Christ, we often talk about the diminishment of the concept of fatherhood. And what you're talking about is the diminishment of the concept of motherhood. And it's been turned into, and I've heard certainly explained this way, that it's a form of slavery and servile demeaningness to women. And obviously, who would want that? I mean, I know I grew up that way too, thinking, well, these poor housewives, they don't have jobs. How awful for them. It sort of taints your whole idea of both motherhood and fatherhood and portrays it as a kind of just a horrible state of servitude rather than something fulfilling or something you'd actually want.
I mean, the thing is that once motherhood loses its proper role, then fatherhood loses its proper role because it's only vis-a-vis a woman that a man becomes a father, right?
Right, well, right.
So with all motherhood, but motherhood comes first, right? It's the woman who, when a woman is pregnant, you know, the father, what can he do? He can do pretty much nothing for the baby completely. The motherhood comes first. But that's why fatherhood is completely diminished too. So, and the idea of personhood, We live in a culture where we're just animals who are meant to pursue pleasure, however we define it, and then die. I mean, that's our culture. It's very flat
right.
and narrow.
And not very inspiring. So now, you talk about protecting our daughters from falling into this way of thinking. How do we do that? I know that's basically the whole show here, but I'm a dad, a lot of dads out there. How do we protect our daughters when the whole entire culture is telling them it's your body, that's what you're all about, and it's all about being sexy? How do we protect them?
I think the first thing you want to do is you want to start with making it, ensuring that you have a good relationship with your wife. And then you put your relationship with your wife ahead of your relationship with your children. Because so often I see in families, there's tension between mom and dad. They don't really enjoy each other nearly as much as when they were dating. But they enjoy their children. And so independently, each one of them starts to focus on the children more than each other. And you want your daughters to see that they are loved by their dad, that their dad respects the role that they have in the home, and that the home is esteemed, that the home is a happy place. That the home is just not a bunch of individuals that just happen to eat out of the same refrigerator and use the same microwave. And that can be very difficult to do because there's so many things that our young people can be involved in. And of course, we want our young people to develop talents they don't even possess, right? And so then they got to get into Harvard or whatever. And the father's got to really try to make home life true home life. And that gets hard as the kids get older. So the first step is really the best thing you can do for your children is love their mother and to teach the children to revere their mother and to acknowledge their mother. And so obviously mom is doing the same thing for the husband. She's teaching the children to revere their father, but fathers teach them to revere and love their mother. And along with that comes a devotion to Our Lady. And it'd be a good thing for the father to promote that devotion to Our Lady and say, hey, you know, Saturday in May, we're all going to go on a pilgrimage to a shrine of Our Lady. And for dad to lead the rosary. I'm not big on the kids reading a decorative rosary. As soon as a kid does something, it's cool for the kid, but it loses importance. Dad does what's important. If you're all in the car, dad drives or mom drives. So you don't put the four-year-old and say, hey, why don't you drive for the next 20 miles?
Right.
So do that. Prayer is really important. I think the father should lead prayer. And that makes it more interesting. If dad is kneeling down fervently praying, well, then suddenly prayer becomes very important. If dad is just sitting back making the kids do it, well, then prayer is just something that's good for the kids and it's not really that important. Dad has to, in his heart, go on a pilgrimage to Our Lady because he has a devotion to Our Lady. He wants to make a pilgrimage. It's not, okay, kids, you're going to make a pilgrimage. Dad is making a pilgrimage to the shrine. He wants to go to Our Lady. You are coming with dad to do this. You know, that makes it much more interesting and exciting. So the first step is loving mom. Second step is making sure that the family has a true and authentic devotion to Our Lady. And thirdly is making sure that the father develops a warm relationship with his daughter, that she gets attention. Sometimes you have these girls who are envious of their brothers, and it's not because they want to be boys, it's because they want the attention that their father gives to their brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And if dad's only doing stuff with the boys because he wants to turn them all into pro football quarterbacks, well, that can be hard on the girls. And so dad's got to take time to give them attention, especially as they move into adolescence. Girls crave their father's attention, and to give them quality attention, to appreciate them, not to belittle them, to love their haircut, no matter how ugly it looks. Yes, dear, it's beautiful. I love your hair. It's great. Not belittle the little things that they do and just really have them feel appreciated. I mean, at the same time, you could go to the opposite extreme. You can't dote on them and let them wrap themselves around your finger. You got to stand up to their whimsical needs at times.
Right.
Give them that affection, right? So that's the third thing. And then the fourth, the final thing is to realize you are on for protecting your daughter's virginity. And if you do the first three things, you've gone a long way. She feels esteemed as a woman. She sees her purpose as a woman. She knows the value of her femininity. She's getting the love from her daddy that she needs. She feels her daddy's emotional support. So she's not out shopping herself around for the first guy that says that she's got cute eyes, right?
Right.
So that goes a long way. But at the same time, people are very naive if they think that their 18-year-old daughter who prays the rosary every day can run off with some boy and come home unscathed. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, and I'm not saying there aren't 18-year-old young women who have the backbone and the capability to do that, but I mean, I'm a 55-year-old man. I've been celibate my whole life. I do not put myself in compromising situations with attractive women, especially if I've had a couple beers. And just to expect these young women to stay chaste in compromising situations is incredible. So I think we've got to instruct our young girls on the proper decorum that we want from them, that they should never be alone with a man that they're not married to, and that we expect them to be in public places. We're not going to let them hop in a car with a young man and drive long distances. We're not going to let them stay late at night with them. We are going to look every man that comes into the house in his eyes before he takes our daughter out. We're not going to let them engage in strong emotional attachments unless they're ready to get married. The idea that we would let our 16-year-old girls have steady boyfriends is crazy. To let your 16-year-old girl have a steady boyfriend is just extremely dangerous, and it's unhealthy on a number of levels. You'd be surprised how many women come to college and the first thing they got to do is get rid of some boyfriend that they're now emotionally attached to and they've had sex with, or if they haven't had sex with, they've done everything but have intercourse, which is sex. We don't call it sex in our culture anymore.
Right.
It's just very emotionally traumatic. It's just not healthy for their next relationship. And so a father is doing those things. So just to repeat myself, he's having a good relationship with their wife, teaching them about the beauty of the Virgin Mary. He is forming a close relationship with his daughter, and then he is ensuring that she's having the proper decorum around them.
This is a fantastic list of to-dos right here, and I want to talk more about those, obviously this, and then if other questions we have for you, Father Eric Nielsen. Thank you very much, and we're going to do a quick little break right now, and then we'll come back and kind of unpack this and look a little more deeply into some of these things you've just listed for us. So, we're on Men of Christ Radio with Father Eric Nielsen. We will be right back after these messages.
Hello, I'm Bill Winnington from the Church of St. Mary's and the Chicago Bulls. I believe Catholic radio is important for all of us out there listening to help us through days when maybe our faith is being challenged by many different obstacles that are put in our way. And it's a chance to reflect and just think and hear stories from other people that maybe are going through the exact same issues that we are going through and how they have struggled and how they are getting through their problems today.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at wsfiradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Listen at 7 o'clock p.m. every Tuesday to WSFI Spotlight, a half-hour conversation with outstanding Catholics from our community and around the world. WSFI Spotlight re-airs on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. or listen on demand anytime by subscribing to our podcast. Visit WSFIradio.org for more information. It's WSFI Spotlight, a conversation with Catholics living in the light. Only on WSFI Catholic Radio, Tuesdays at 7 o'clock p.m.
Looking at term life insurance? Consider life insurance from Catholic Financial Life and see how we put Catholic values in action. To learn more, call Matt Tomlinson at 847-548-MATT. 847-548-6288.
Did you know you can listen to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio online? Visit WSFIRadio.org and click on Listen Live. That's WSFIRadio.org and Listen Live.
All right, we're back on Men of Christ Radio on WSFI Catholic Radio, 88.5 FM. My name is Brian Farley, your humble host, and today we're talking with Father Eric Nielsen, director of the St. Paul University Center at University of Wisconsin-Madison. And at that location, Father Eric deals with the issues of a lot of college students, obviously. He's doing phenomenal work there. And we're talking specifically today about fathering your daughters. And Father Eric just went through really four key things you should do. You should love your wife. You're talking to fathers here. Love your wife. Be affectionate towards her. Have a true devotion to Our Lady. Develop a warm relationship with your daughter. And then protect your daughter's virginity. There's no small challenge in any of these, so I wanted to talk a little bit more about them with Father. Specifically, Father, the last point, protecting your daughter's virginity. Say she's of age, she's 18, she's off at college. We can lecture, we can warn, we can talk. How does a parent influence their daughter beyond that?
Well, a young daughter nowadays, the last thing she wants is a bad relationship with her parents. And so you've got a real good trump card there. I mean, unless you've done something horribly wrong, or maybe she's done something horribly wrong, even the best parents can have a bad relationship with their daughter. Generally speaking, you have a good relationship with your daughter. At the same time, she's off at college. You have to let her make her own decisions and do what she wants. And it's my advice that when it's better for the father to be more involved than for the mom. I mean, mom will call more, talk more. And what I mean by more involved, I think advice and counsel and warning just generally comes better from the father than from the mother. And I mean, because kids are trying to, when they're away from home, they're trying to break from the nest, and mom is the nest. Mom's the symbol of the nest, and so they just really don't take advice from mom as easily as they do from dad. Dad usually hasn't been given a lot of advice, so dad's got to just do this judiciously. And just realize there's not a lot you can do. You can just give her your expectations and remind her of those expectations. We don't expect you. I don't want you making out with these boys, honey. I want you to know that. These boys, if you start making out with them, they've got only one thing on their mind. And I know because I was an 18-year-old boy.
That's right.
And we can just, the young girls just don't realize how boys think, and they don't know how boys feel. And I'm just constantly telling, and boys don't even know why they like a girl.
Right.
I don't realize how much hormones dictate that. And you just, it's nice that these boys are, just to tell them, it's nice that these boys are sweet on you, and that's great. And if I was a young girl, well, or a young boy, you're an attractive girl. Boys, they're still boys. They're not men yet. And they won't be men until they're willing to take responsibility for you, and they're not going to take responsibility for you really until they want to marry you. So until then, you just have to be careful and don't make out with them. So I think, yeah, you just have to keep giving them that advice and have them listen to it and say, look, we want to meet your boyfriends early rather than late. Bring in the boyfriend like a month before he proposes. First, second date, I want you to meet my parents. Just try to help them be friends before they're lovers. Then be friends with the family and just say, look, I want to give you advice on what would be a good match for you, because emotions make difficult decisions, and we can help you with this. You got to let her in the end. I think it'll backfire. You can voice disappointment and displeasure and moral discomfort, but if you try to tell her what to do, I think it'll backfire.
Right. It's a very independent period and time, and we want to respect that and have them flourish and grow, but you're still trying to direct how exactly they flourish and grow. And it's terrifying. I mean, again, I'm in this experience now, and it's a whole new experience of fatherhood. You long for the days when they were 8 or 3, and it was a lot easier then. Now they're independent adults in many ways, but they're not yet, and it's just kind of a terrifying stage. But
now's the time to tell her right up front. Say, look, I want to give you advice on the man you marry. I want to give advice on your boyfriends. Who you marry is up to you. I'm not going to tell you who to marry, who not to marry, but if I think somebody's bad for you, I'm going to let you know. I have an obligation. I have a moral obligation. And because I'm looking out for your welfare, just like I was looking out for your welfare when you were four and all you wanted to do was eat ice cream for breakfast. You know, I'm looking out for your welfare. And I think you have to say, if you move in with somebody, I'm not coming to your wedding.
All right.
Just so you know that up front. And just to give her another reason not to move in with somebody. That's in the back of her mind. I don't want to move. Why are you not moving in with it? Because I want my dad at my wedding. He told me, he's been telling me since I was four, if I move in with somebody, he's not coming to my wedding. And I love my dad, and I want him at my wedding.
Good concrete reasons to do the right thing. That's interesting.
Yeah, you got to give people concrete reasons. I mean, we can't expect everybody just to do it like they're angels. Practicalities are important, to give them as many reasons as possible.
Which is good, because a lot of times the moral reasons can be very clear when you're in a certain context, but as soon as you get out there in the clubs or wherever, it all evaporates, turns into abstract nothingness, and it doesn't hold up against the very physical reality in front of you. And that
love is a powerful thing. It's a very, very powerful drug, and it's easy to become addicted to, and you think it's never going to go away.
Right, right. Now, one thing I wanted to get back to, the relationship with the wife, the husband's relationship with the wife, and the impact that has on the daughter. So I imagine that would come down to obvious expressions of affection, obedience, but also respectful. I mean, in the case of like a disagreement, are there ways to handle that that are damaging or not damaging?
I would say, I mean, it's classic, never argue in front of your children.
Okay.
I mean, it's good to be affectionate. The important thing is respect, that mom is respected, that dad tries to make life easy for her. I remember once my dad took a turn and we went down the street. I said, why are we going down the street? He said, because your mother likes the street. <You know? laughs> I mean, men kind of do those things out of love for our wife and not just because we don't want the backlash. You just foster a real service attitude towards your wife. You don't have to go out of your way for them, the children, to see that, but they'll see that. I take her out on a date every once in a while. I do things for her to make her life easier. And we appreciate her role in the family, that when it's dinner time, we all show up for dinner on time, dressed well, because mom's worked hard to make this meal, and we thank her for it, and we appreciate it. But if you foster that from your heart, you'll just do it naturally.
Right. Now, that's interesting. I mean, that's a whole other dynamic that I know I haven't given a lot of thought to. A lot of men probably don't. So you think, as you said earlier, you get all focused on your kids, and you think, boy, I'm doing great. I'm really involved in them. But then you neglect your poor wife, and then ultimately that has an effect on your kids. And
yeah, absolutely. I think becoming. Couples generally neglect each other. I think, to tell you the truth, I think women are worse. Women tend to neglect their husbands more than husbands neglect.
I can't say anything to that, but you go ahead.
They're why? These are all gross generalities. Each situation is uniquely different. I mean, couples need to foster that love with each other.
Right. That in and of itself is a great instructor for the children. And I suppose, I mean, it's different for boys than it is for girls. But in either way, it's a valuable example that you're setting.
Your wife needs it, because if your wife doesn't feel loved by you and affection by you, well, now she needs it from her kids. And when a woman needs affection from her kids to be happy, well, then she stops mothering correctly, because she just needs that response from her children, and so she'll do things that she shouldn't do.
Interesting.
So she needs to be independent. She needs to be as independent from her children's affection as much as possible, in order that she can discipline them and say no to them, and give them the freedom to do what they want to do. Because if they feel smothered by their mother, because they want their mom to be happy, and they don't want to disappoint their mom. And I see it right in college. They want to do something over Christmas break, but mom's crying because they're not coming home, and I got to spend more time. Well, that's a mother that doesn't get enough affection from her husband, and therefore she needs her kids to come home in order to be happy. And now those kids have lost some freedom to do what they would rather do. Now, obviously, you need to do things to make your mother happy, but you should do those things more out of freedom than because of constraint from your mother's emotional state.
Well, this is interesting. You're really exposing the tangled web of the family, which is a beautiful thing, but when it can go wrong too, and just the consequences of your actions. So much of this we don't even think about, and then the repercussions of our actions can really go a long way.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a significant effect. All right, well, we're going to take another break here, and then we'll come back and talk more about fathering your daughters a little bit more in the upcoming segment in the context of our overall society and what we can do for our daughters in that situation. So we are on Men of Christ Radio with Father Eric Nielsen, and we're going to be right back with you after these important messages on WSFI Catholic Radio 88.5 FM. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Scott Hahn from Franciscan University of Steubenville in Ohio. Catholic radio is essential for the new evangelization. It reaches people who are not necessarily going to darken the doorways of a local parish, but they'll be driving by, and you can recommend it. You can even turn it on when you got a passenger in the car. Catholic Radio deserves your support as well. Not only your prayer support, but also your financial aid. So I encourage you all, get involved and spread the word. God bless you.
WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community. We only can do that with your financial support. Take a moment now to donate online at wsfiradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. That's WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated. Did you know that you can listen to WSFI local programming on demand? Full episodes of Pro-Life Today, WSFI Spotlight, Healing the Whole Person, Bursting Forth in Sound, along with our novenas, prayers, and devotions, are available on your mobile device or online. For iPhone and iPad users, open the already installed podcast app and search for WSFI. Then click Subscribe. Android users need to visit the Google Play Store, download the Stitcher app, create a free account, then search for WSFI. Add us to your favorites playlist by clicking the plus sign in the upper right-hand corner of the screen. The full archive of local shows is also available at wsfiradio.org. Need help? Call us at 224-206-8455. That's 224-206-8455.
We're back on Men of Christ Radio. We're talking with Father Eric Nielsen about fathering your daughters. And it's been a fascinating conversation so far. I am a father of daughters, and many of you listening are fathers of daughters or will be at some point. And there's a lot to this. And we're in unfriendly times in many respects for this task, this privilege of being fathers to young women and bringing them up in a way where they're taught to know and respect and love their genuine femininity as given to them by God rather than what is handed to them by our culture in so many ways. And now, Father, the whole concept of leadership is very important. It's certainly stressed, at least verbally, in our schools from a very early age. What is female leadership as distinguished from male leadership, and how can we cultivate that in our daughters?
Well, I would say that there isn't really a big difference. Leadership is based on a person's conviction that what they're doing is right. And that's where leadership comes from. After that, obviously, some people have a greater talent of projecting that, either because they have a greater understanding of what is right and true, or they just bluff everybody into believing that they know what's right and true. But we follow people who have conviction for what they're doing and have the ability to carry it out, whether it's a man or a woman. And so the best thing you can do for your daughter is just to give her convictions, to help her develop her convictions, to give her a strength of will, to teach her what is true, good, and beautiful, and to give her the fortitude to resist people who are going against what she knows is true, good, and beautiful. Difficult to be a leader because sometimes you have to say no to things that are going to make you unpopular. And that's what it means to be a leader. Now, obviously, men have a certain way of carrying out leadership in that we tend to be, in a certain sense, more decisive, because we are more goal-orientated or object-orientated, and women tend to be a little bit more compassionate because they're more people-centered in their leadership. Men want to achieve the goal. Women want everybody to be together in achieving the goal. And both of those are important, right? Because focus too much on the people, you never achieve the goal. If you focus too much on the goal, you achieve the goal, but everybody hates you and nobody cares anymore. They naturally will carry out their own style of leadership. Focus on giving them a sense of conviction.
You touched on this a little bit earlier, but we're bringing them up. They're in school. They're great students. They go to college. They're learning all sorts of fascinating and interesting things. Should we encourage careers? I mean, I know my wife and I certainly encourage careers in our daughters, but we're also hoping that they will, of course, be mothers or the religious life. It's very hard to balance that in many ways.
Right. I think what you got to do with your daughters is you got to give them what I try to do with the young people come here, that just to be realistic and to know what they want. I mean, honey, how important is it for you to be a mother and to have children? How important is it for you to be a doctor? And if it's really important for you to be a doctor and you really want to be a doctor, then be a doctor. And if your daughter wants to be a doctor and she's very bright, but she also happens to be extremely cute and well-formed, well, a woman like that can be a doctor and at 35, probably find a husband and have three kids. You just got to take stock of yourself. But if you're 35 years old and you're not quite that cute and you don't have the personality that tends to attract men into your orbit, you have to realize that being a doctor, unless you lower the standards of whom you want to marry, the odds of you having a husband just are not going to be that high, right? Because with every degree that a woman gets and with every age that she acquires, she becomes less desirable to other men and she finds less men desirable. A woman with a PhD, just the loci of men that she finds interesting is rather small. She's just so educated and sophisticated. But, and so I think my advice for a young woman who is making marriage a priority and says, no, I really want to be a mom with children. And I think for the vast majority of women, that should be their goal. And to tell them, look, for most women, that's where you're going to find your greatest joy. It's one of the mistakes we make is telling our boys that, look, this career is going to make you happy. Very small percentage of people have that career that just totally fulfills them and makes them happy, right? And they make us all feel miserable for the jobs that we have. But just to find a job that you're good at and that you enjoy to a certain extent, that says a lot, right?
Right.
And that most of us should just find our joys and happiness in our family and our friends. I told a young man who was 28 living with me, I said, Dan, just give up your dream. Just find a job that makes some money and marry a woman and start having kids and give up this dream of finding this perfect job. And 2 weeks later, he looked at me and said, wow, that was the best thing anybody ever told me. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's going back to an old job that he had that he liked. Okay, it wasn't the greatest thing in the world, but it paid well. And he's going to find a wife and get married and have children. To answer your question, for a woman who wants to get married and have children, what I tell them is, find a career that you're happy with so that if you never find the right man and you never get married, you will be happy with what you're doing. It doesn't have to be some great career. And because just to support yourself, you don't need a lot of money. That's the advantage that a woman has, is that she can expect her husband to bear the burden of the financial responsibility of the house, right? And so she can just pick some career pick a career that's not going to preclude you from meeting men and having the ability to marry a man, whatever that career is. And so if you really want to get married, in other words, if you really want to get married and that's a high priority for you, maybe instead of going to medical school, I'm going to be a nurse, right? It pays well. It's a nice career, but it's just not going to saddle me with a lot of debt. I'm not going to have to do an 80-hour a week residency for 3 years. You know, I can still date. I can still meet men. It'll be easier for me to get married.
Right.
So, I think every woman then should be free to make that decision. But we don't want to We just don't want to give them false expectations, so suddenly they find themselves 38 and the prospects look pretty dim and their careers aren't really all that interesting anyway.
That's the fear, is you send them down that path and then they come up middle age or thereabouts and like, well, this isn't what I really wanted. So very good points you make there. Now, and you had mentioned one of the biggest mistakes we make in that whole scenario. What are some of the other biggest mistakes, particularly that fathers make with bringing up their daughters?
You mean in regards to finding a good husband or?
I guess just in general. I mean, even when they're little, are there, you gave a nice list of what we should do. Are there things we should not do bringing up from infant to adult, our daughters, or any advice along those lines?
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, one mistake that parents often make is they have a brilliant daughter and it's like, okay, if you don't become a brain surgeon, I think that restricts your daughter's freedom to do what she wants to do. So don't do that. Second thing that is really, I mean, probably the first thing that you just, they kind of make fun of their daughter's things, what they're interested in or what they like. They just don't take their daughters seriously because obviously little girls like stupid things and they cry over ridiculous things. And they do need their father to help them get over this. But if you do it in a kind of a condescending, belittling way, that just doesn't help. So you got to learn to have a little bit of more tenderness and gentleness with showing your daughters how to overcome these things. Basically, the biggest mistake that I see fathers making is just not being involved in their daughters' lives. Those are the things that make their daughters upset. Their fathers don't treat their mothers right, and their fathers don't take time with them. And I would say that those are the two biggest mistakes.
Consistent with what we've been saying along here. And again, the relationship with the mother, very, very important, as is the relationship with the daughter. And I suppose there's some reflection within there. One thing, I mean, men generally are less verbal than women. So is it possible to father, as a verb, to father your daughter more by your actions than your words?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to be this great conversationalist, right? Be who you are. The problem is we live in this culture that's completely messed up because men have to travel away from their home in order to work. Men just need to be around the home. And you just need to be there for when your daughter wants to talk to you, she can talk to you and you can just listen. You don't have to try to fix it, right? We've all had that experience before. Or just don't fix it, honey. Just listen to me. And so I think if you're just make time to be around your daughter and to be with your daughter and do things with your daughter, you're fine. You don't have to get into her deeper psychological verbal needs. She's got other women for that.
Right.
It's really not that hard. It's just hard to be there. That's what you have to do.
One thing that comes up a lot currently, earlier we talked about a devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary as a way to inspire a love of the Catholic faith in our daughters, and dad physically showing or performing the devotions and participating in the sacraments, obviously is a strong example. It's a strong example for sons. It's a strong example for daughters. It's a way to bring them up properly in the faith. An issue that I've seen is problem within the church is there's kind of a cultural interpretation of the concept of love, the concept of compassion, where something, a term like social justice, has an emotional appeal because it's people think it's all about fairness. And yet at the same time, it can be used to justify abortion in many people's minds. Or we have many, many Catholics supporting so-called same-sex marriage. And they do so from a sense of, well, that's fair, and that's what love is. Love wins. That whole argument, it's a very emotional argument. Girls tend to be more emotional than boys. I think boys probably laugh off a lot of this stuff, although they just do it in secret because they don't want to get in trouble. But girls sometimes fall into this understanding of love and mercy and compassion that is somewhat actually destructive to the souls of people and contrary to our Catholic faith. How do we guide them properly into a proper understanding of real compassion, real mercy, real love that's consistent with Catholic teaching, though it may be strongly countercultural?
We don't want to put a dichotomy between affection and feeling and the truth. And so love is affectionate. And we all crave that affection. We all desire compassion. Love doesn't have an emotional response. Well, then what kind of love is it? But at the same time, if love isn't based on the truth, then it's not love. It's simply based on our own personal need to feel something. And so we're always trying to base love on the truth. And so an example I've sometimes used is if you're on a slippery highway and the baby is crying in the car seat, which mother loves the baby more? The mother that takes the baby out of the car seat and comforts it, or the mother that leaves the baby tied into the car seat? Well, we'd say the baby in the car seat is safer, even though the baby would feel safer in its mother's arms. So sometimes doing the right thing doesn't feel like the right thing. And how you teach that to young people, I haven't really thought about that too much. But hopefully there's been situations like that where you've taught, look, we had to do the right thing there, even though it didn't feel right. And so we have to teach people the truth isn't based on feelings. I have the same thing in confession. They think, well, I feel like I did something wrong. Well, your conscience isn't in your feelings. It's in your intellect. If you ran over a squirrel on the way here because it ran in front of your car, would you feel bad about it? Yeah, I'd feel bad. Would that be a sin? No. Why not? Because I didn't choose it, right? And so if you raise your children in a sentimental fashion, giving them whatever they want based on their feelings, well, then you'll have sentimental children. But my guess is any father listening to this has a pretty good ability to raise his children based on the truth. They'll figure it out.
Right. Yeah, and I think it's a consistent thing, is the focus on what is true. It's to me, it's just good parenting, but we just see so much activity in the other direction, and I'm trying to get an understanding of it. And I think it is the product of parenting. It's just why is this happening?
But I think it's part of it is we don't live on farms anymore. It used to be little kids, they'd go get attached to some animal, and then they'd watch it get killed, and they'd eat it the next day. And then you realize
that's one way to learn. Yeah, exactly. Get over that sentimentalism pretty quickly that way. So we could just all start slaughtering our pets and see how that goes. No. Now, one thing that I've encountered, we recently had a Men of Christ father-daughter dance, and that was a couple of weeks ago, and the dads get together, they bring their daughters, it's kind of a big community event, and it's fun, and then there's bowling, and it's a great thing. And so I'm not talking about that, but I have heard of other things where advocate that men take their daughter out, take her out to dinner, kind of almost a pseudo date, and talk to her very explicitly about keeping her virginity and offer her a chastity ring. And these are very specific actions that are very direct, and I appreciate that, but it strikes me as a little much. I don't know. Have you heard of these sort of things, and do you think that's a good idea?
I have. Let every father do what he thinks. I think it's a little much, too. But to sit down with your daughter and have a frank conversation with her about her, I think that's an important thing. To take her out to dinner on a date, I think to me that sounds a little weird. Just to take out your daughter for dinner someday because it happens to happen. Hey, so you want to go out get an ice cream cone? Those are beautiful things. I think to me it sounds more natural and what you would do to just make it a like you say, it kind of seems a little over the top. But hey, to each his own.
Right. I suppose it depends on your personal relationship with your daughter, too. I think mine would just find it funny and laugh at me.
Yeah, it depends on what type of a guy you are. I mean, if that's the type of guy you are, then it works, because that's probably the type of daughter you have.
Right. Yeah. You're a lot alike, and you know what'll work and what won't work. So, all right, now what about adult daughters? Say they are, they're even out of college. Does a father still have a role, or is he just off the job?
Oh, yeah, you always have a role. You're 92 years old, you're going to have a role. This is what that role is, right? And so I think, like I said before, you're always on to try to give your daughter advice on who she marries and who she doesn't. I think you should always – it's just difficult. If I was getting married, that's an important decision. If my dad knew a lot about houses and I was buying a house and I was 62 years old, I'd ask my dad what he thought about the house, right?
Yeah.
My dad knows a lot about men and he knows a lot about me. It'd be foolish not to ask him what he thought about this guy I was dating. I think that's always a wise decision. If your wife died and you start dating a girl, you'd probably ask your kids what they thought, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think it's – I think there's always a role there.
Well, that's good news because I'm getting older. My kids are getting older, and I want to be their dad forever. And it's a real privilege. There's times when I'm in way over my head, but it's still a privilege and a great experience. And I imagine most of the men listening would agree with that. It's kind of what makes you human and what makes you a grown up in so many respects. So, Father, we're almost out of time. Are there any books or resources that you're aware of that you would recommend to anybody or anything along those lines?
Bill Stetson has come up with a number of good books on raising a family. If you just Google his name, family, and or Jim Stetson, I think James Stetson is his name.
Okay.
And I think start there and start just by developing your own relationship with God and your own relationship with the Virgin Mary. And you'll find that if you work on your own relationship with Christ, and we are men of Christ.
Yep.
All these things that we talked about will start naturally happening by the guidance of the Holy Spirit more than the fact that you listen to some radio program with Brian Farley and Father Eric Nielsen.
I guess we got to give credit where it's due, but no, absolutely. I mean, it's just prayer, and I hadn't brought that up, but obviously prayer is the strongest thing we can do for our daughters, for ourselves, for our marriages, and all the power that comes with that. So can't forget that.
No, great.
So, all right, Father. Well, I greatly appreciate your being on and your excellent insight and advice over the course of this hour. Personally, I appreciate it for my own situation, and I think we've helped hopefully a lot of guys out there to at least give them plenty to think about in terms of fathering their daughters. So before we let you go, as I had said, would you please give us your blessing?
Sure, my blessed may God, through intercession of all the angels and saints, come down upon you, my Lord, reward you for the efforts you have put into your vocation to be a good husband to your wife and the efforts you have put into your children. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right, Father Eric Nielsen, thank you so much, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again on Men of Christ Radio and other situations. So have a great rest of your day, and God bless you.
All right, God bless you, Brian. God bless all of you out there.
Thank you, Father. All right, well, this has been a great experience. Again, our thanks to Father Eric Nielsen for his wisdom, his advice for all of us fathers of daughters, and a lot of this goes for fathers of sons as well. So I hope you all enjoyed it. If you would like to learn more about Men of Christ, you are always welcome to check out our website. It is menofchrist.net. menofchrist.net. You can learn more about what we're doing, what we're trying to do. Many resources on there as well that are very helpful. Also, we have a new Facebook page. If you just go onto Facebook and write in Men of Christ, we have our logo on there. You'll probably recognize that. It's Men of Christ in Milwaukee. We have our events listed. There's a lot of things going on all the time that we're trying to promote along with this radio station and this radio show. We also broadcast that through our Twitter account, again, if Men of Christ on Twitter. So you can also listen to these shows. They're archived. That information you can find on our Facebook page as well to listen to the show. If you didn't catch it live, I guess you wouldn't know that because I'm saying this now. But anyway, you can find the shows, past shows on their future schedules. We mentioned some of the guests that we hope to have coming up. Next show, I believe we're going to have Bruce Hahneman again talking about overcoming pornography addiction. So that will be very intense and interesting. Do please tune in for that. And I guess we'll wrap it up with the way we started, with a prayer. It's the best way to do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Saint Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl throughout the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Well, that'll do it. I'm Brian Farley. This is Men of Christ Radio on WSFI Catholic Radio 88.5. Thank you all very, very much, and please do tune in again next time.
You've been listening to Men of Christ Radio on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. For more information on this or any other radio program, visit wsfiradio.org or email info@wsfiradio.org. To learn more about the Men of Christ, visit menofchrist.net.
Hi, this is Wes Riccio from the Holy Family Catholic Bookstore, wishing the fullness of God's blessings upon all those who will soon be receiving a sacrament for the first time. If you have a child, grandchild, or godchild being baptized, receiving their first Holy Communion, or being confirmed, remember that Holy Family has the area's largest selection of gifts, accessories, and supplies to make their special day more memorable. The Holy Family Catholic Bookstore is at 9249 Old Green Bay Road, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. More information, including a virtual tour, is available on Facebook.
This is Joe Scheidler, the National Director of the Pro-Life Action League, headquartered in Chicago. I'm asking you to please to pray today for every woman facing a problem pregnancy that she will not choose abortion.
Listen at 7 o'clock p.m. every Tuesday to WSFI Spotlight, a half-hour conversation with outstanding Catholics from our community and around the world. WSFI Spotlight re-airs on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. or listen on demand anytime by subscribing to our podcast. Visit WSFIradio.org for more information. It's WSFI Spotlight, a conversation with Catholics living in the light. Only on WSFI Catholic Radio, Tuesdays at 7 o'clock p.m.